Well, some of you here last week, we mentioned that we went up to a National Leaders Conference in Horsham this last week. And thank you for praying for us. Our sessions went, really fueled what God is already doing there. So really appreciate that. But what was amazing is that, you know, the Lord somehow... We think, here we are in the West Country, you know, a little bit away from major cities or the general flow of life. I don't know whether you sometimes think that. West Country is the best country. But the Lord has a way of speaking to his people the same thing. Because wherever the Holy Spirit is, we can hear the voice of Jesus, because he declares what Jesus is saying to us. And it was so encouraging, because a few weeks ago at our prayer meeting, God spoke to us to pray for rain, symbolic of praying for the outpouring of the Spirit, something fresh in the Holy Spirit. And he gave me this analogy, some of you heard this many times now, about how in the Nevada desert, where nothing grows, but there is seed already in the ground. If it was just desert without seed, you wouldn't get any life. You'd just get wet soil. But wherever God works, there has to be the seed of his word. And Jesus speaks about the seed being the word of God sown into the heart, where when it's believed, it actually then will... have the power to change everything. But it still needs water. The seed will always need watering, as in the natural, so in the spirit. You need the word of God and you need the Holy Spirit. And God gave me this picture from the Nevada desert, how in March 2005 there was such a lot of rain that they had something called a super bloom. And I've shown you the pictures, some of you have seen that, where it's just such an unusual vision to see happen in a desert. And what God wants to do is so unusual and rare that you haven't yet seen super bloom in the way that he wants to. We've seen God move in different ways. I've seen him move personally. I've seen him move amongst us as his people. You've seen him move in your life, in your circumstances. Everybody here can say God has done certain things in us and through us. But I believe that what the Spirit is saying, it's going to be an unprecedented, something astonishing that he wants to do. And so going up to Horsham, that's really the message we were carrying. And what's totally exciting, without really knowing what they are speaking and what they're hearing from God nationally, it's exactly the same thing. And God is asking us to expect and pray. Expect and pray. To believe for and pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this rain is going to be not just times of refreshing for us, it's going to be for harvest. It's going to be for what God wants to do before Jesus returns, is bring in an immense harvest of souls. Because Jesus is coming back and he's asking us to pray for rain so that the Holy Spirit will do something. We still need reapers. We still need the church. We need the Holy Spirit will move through your life and through my life. You're important to the move of God. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. So wherever he is, it's significant. You're a significant place or a significant person. But it's the whole body of Christ is going to be used to reap the harvest of souls. But we need the rain. We need the Holy Spirit and to ask for rain. And, you know, this is happening across denominations. This call on the church to ask the Lord for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. My brother is part of a C of E church in Nottingham, and they are alive in the Spirit as a church. And they are believing for such an outpouring of the Spirit that will transform a city.
Come on.
And there is the same cry going on in the church throughout the nation. Now, I want us to be part of that. He's already declared it here. He's already said he wants to do this. And he's already asked us to pray. It's already happening. I don't know if you've heard. Well, you're hearing afresh today. That's what the Spirit is saying. And this expectation, you know, the beginning of the year, God spoke to us to look up. It's time to dream again. And, you know, some people have really lost heart and have turned away from God. But we're here because we're turning to him. Unbelief turns away, but faith turns to him. And faith always enters into the things that God has spoken. You can't enter in just by asking for rain. We need believing hearts that ask the Holy Spirit to come. And at the new year, God gave us this message to look up. It's time to dream again. And he's been reviving hope, bringing faith back. Speaking his promises over us. We had some wonderful nights of encouragement, prophecy, where God really encouraged everybody who was here and receiving personal promises and words. And what God's going to do is so big, but it's also going to be in your life, your ministry, your family, your neighborhood, this region and this nation. And the nations. It's that big, but it's also involving you. God's what God has put in you personally, but also what he's put in us as a church for the people that live around here. Because we're not just here for us. The Holy Spirit has been poured out that we will be witnesses of Jesus until he returns. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the ends of the earth. That's the vision that God has for us. And God, whenever he speaks, it's like receiving a download. You get something in your heart, and it comes into you, in your spirit. Even if nothing you see around you reflects what's in you. How many of you got a lot on the inside that's not yet reflected on the outside? Promises, prophecies, the things that God has spoken, not yet reflected on the outside, but you've had a download. You've got it in your heart, what God has spoken. And God always starts the process with speaking his promise into your heart or your spirit, so that what's in you is like that seed waiting for God to activate it through his spirit and bring it to pass. That's the supernatural dimension of God working through his word and his spirit. We need both. We don't just need the spirit. We don't just need the word. We need the word and the Holy Spirit working together in the heart of anyone who will believe. And God is calling us to radical faith. To have faith a bit bigger than your left toe. A little pinky. He's calling us to all believe for the little things and the big things. And he's working. And the thing about the Lord's promises that he puts in us, you can't get away from them. And it can almost be frustrating. Has anybody ever felt frustrated by what's on the inside of you? Because you know that you know God said it. And you're like... And we are in the process of this, the promise of God happening for us as a church.
Come on. Yes, we are.
And, you know, if you think two of us came down to plant a church, you can see that what has been in us has started to happen because you're here.
That's right.
You're the answer to the promise that God spoke. But there are far more people that are going to come into the kingdom and be added to the church, not just here, but the church in this whole region are going to see a harvest of souls. There's going to be a harvest. And the Lord is asking us to expect His Spirit to do what we can't work out. And to pray for Him to activate what we haven't yet seen, but is living on the inside of us. Jesus said this is how prayer works. He said, if my word abides in you, if you abide in me and my word, my promise, what I'm saying lives in you, isn't just like a mental, oh, that's what God's saying, but you actually say, I'll take that and I'll believe it. How do you want to take that and believe it for your life? A move of the Spirit, something extraordinary. I take it, I believe it. A move of the Spirit that goes into how God's going to use you and many, I'll take it. Because it's for others too. And power of the Holy Spirit is able to activate and move on what you believe for. But not in your head, but in your heart. And that's why we need to be encouraging one another to continue in the faith. Because unless there's an expectation on the inside of you, that seed will like kind of land in your head, but there's no soil in the head. It's like me trying to get something to grow on a rock where there is no soil. That's my head. The promise won't come to pass if it's just in your head. It's good to renew your mind with the word of God, with the mind of Christ. But it only begins to work when it comes into your heart and you say, right, yes, amen. And you begin to speak it out. Because faith always speaks. It's one of the ways to release your faith. We must be a releaser of our faith and walk around saying, even to the cooker, this is what God's going to do. As you're cooking your tea, God has said this about my kids. He said it about my whole family. Some of you have got families that are going to be saved in the coming move of the Spirit. And some of you have been believing for those promises for years. Thank God for you. And they will thank God for you because you stood and believed. But we need the Holy Spirit to come and do, fulfill the word in our time and our generation. And if God is saying it's time, then let me tell you, it's time. And if he's not just saying it to me, he's us, he's saying it. We're partnering with God, church, in a national move of the Holy Spirit. So it's great to be here in the West Country because this is where we're supposed to be. But we're partnering with God for something much bigger than we've seen yet. And whenever God promises something great in your life, in the church, in this region, He always gets His people praying. Whenever He says He's going to do something, there's always a response in the hearts of people who are yielded to Him to pray. And that's what it means. It means when you receive a promise, you need to be praying it into. Because what's on the inside must become a reality on the outside. And God's not going to do anything outside what's on the inside. Perhaps that didn't make sense. He won't do anything beyond what he's already put in you, which is why you need a whole lot more promises on the inside. God is able to do what we cannot do. We can't make it happen. But God himself, if we will pray, will do what man cannot do. We can't make the promises come to pass. We can't make the things that God has spoken happen. It's not of human power, you see, which is why prayer is so key to what God is doing. You, the believer, praying, not watching other people pray, but you praying. Whenever God wants to do something great, I'm going to pray. And the power of prayer is beyond anything we've yet seen. The ability that God has invested in his promises to us as a church and his prayer promises that if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. And if we knock, the door will be open. That's a promise, not might be or could be. He says it definitely will happen. And scripture uses this analogy of Elijah praying. And if we read verse chapter 5, we just read about how God wants us to pray for rain. I want rain. Do you want rain? Yes. Do you want the outpouring fresh, something fresh in the Holy Spirit? Do we need that as a church? Yes. Do you know what? I believe when the Spirit moves, there'll be no muddy water. In other words, there won't be sin. There'll be purity. Because like water, clear water, it kind of, a flood of Holy Spirit will kind of drive out all the muck. Flush it out. How many of you need a flush it out? And the Holy Spirit will come and flush out the sin and the compromise and the impurity. We still need to repent, confess our sins. But the power of the Holy Spirit enables us to live in purity. He enables us to live pure and holy and set apart for God. And in any move of the Spirit, it will be a move of holiness. Yes. 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 God set apart people who are living pure, not involved in sin, hidden things which God sees, continuing in our lives, words that grieve the Spirit. God will work so powerfully, you won't want to. That's what he does. He works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. And in James chapter 5, we read about this prophet guy called Elijah from the Old Testament. But it's brought as an analogy and an important message to the New Testament church. And that's us, to the church of Jesus Christ. And the second part of verse 16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. There we are, there's Superbloom. Right at the end, the outpouring of the Spirit means the earth is bringing super bloom. Can you see that? That's an outpouring. That's a supernatural work of God. And it all begins with a man praying effectively and fervently. So the results, you can say why it actually happened. Scripture gives us the reason that it happened. That Elijah, just like you and me, I was saying to the Lord this morning, sometimes I think, I'm not good enough in prayer. I'm sure this is what it means about Elijah. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Pray to change a nation. I don't think I've got it. Got what it takes. Does anybody here think they can pray like, I don't think I've got what it takes, but I know someone who does. And that's the God on the inside. That's the Holy Spirit. He knows how. And he can help me to pray like this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Another translation says, makes tremendous power available. Now, you and I have a relationship with God because of Jesus. He has given us a gift called righteousness. Jesus has become our righteousness. And by the way, man, it means all of us in Christ. And it doesn't just mean women praying. And it doesn't just mean men praying. It means us. Can I just put the balance right in there? Not those with a special gift. It's about the church. And Elijah, he knew he wasn't good enough. But he was considered righteous before God. And we're righteous by faith. It's a gift from God. You know, one of the... to be bold in prayer is what Jesus taught. He taught about the friend who went and knocked at midnight asking for bread to supply the need of another. And that boldness was so strong, he refused the inability of the person, the lack or the sleepiness of the person behind the door. He wouldn't allow them to keep sleeping. He said, you're going to have to get up because I'm going to get this for that person. I'm going to get this need met. And boldness before God is like, I will not accept any other outcome but a new move of the Spirit. I will not accept anything else but what you've said. That shamelessness is another. He shamelessly laid hold, knocked in prayer. Jesus actually used this example as well of someone who cries out day and night because you so want what you know is right in God's eyes to happen. And so prayer is just the C of E or the kingdom faith style. It's scriptural that God wants to bring back into the church. How do we pray for rain? And there's this cry that is to come before God and this boldness because we've been made right in God's eyes. We can come boldly and cry out, Lord, we must have the move of your Spirit that will save many in this region. I'm not prepared to go to heaven and they go to hell. Are you? We must lay hold of God to see an answer. Jesus said, what son, won't go to the Father? And will the Father not give good gifts? The Holy Spirit, he said, ask as a son for the Holy Spirit. Because when the rain comes, everything changes. Everything changes. But the prayer that brought the rain, that gave the harvest, was the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Why was his prayer effective? Because Elijah had heard, you can read it in 1 Kings 18, he'd heard that God said, I'm going to send rain. Same as what we're hearing. He heard exactly the same. You don't think that's exciting?
Yes.
Because it's written. God said, I'm going to send rain. And Elijah, if you read in, we're going to look at 1 Kings 18. Just look at these. Elijah said to the king, right? This is before it rained, when there was no cloud in the sky, no sign, but the download had come into his heart or his spirit that God was going to send rain. Hopefully, like you've got a download. Have you had a download? If not, may this morning be your download. He had a download, and he knew that he knew, which is faith, that God was going to do this. So he said to the king, you can go off and eat and drink, because there is the sound of heavy rain, abundant rain, to break the drought in the nation. Can you hear that? There is the sound of abundance of rain. Nobody else can hear what he's hearing, because people of faith hear things that other people can't hear. But they've heard God say, this is what I want to do. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And he said to Ahab, go and eat and drink. In other words, you can carry on with your normal life, but as for me, I have got a promise. I believe it. But I'm going up on Mount Carmel to pray. I'm foregoing eating and drinking. Now, sometimes, I'm telling you, sometimes the Lord calls you to a fast. And me. That we're to go without food because we're given to prayer. How many of you want a move of God? Well, sometimes it will mean not going up to eat and drink, but fasting and praying. Jesus says that you can devote yourself to prayer. And Elijah went up on top of Mount Carmel. And then he bowed down to the ground like this and began to pray. And essentially what he was doing looked ridiculous to everybody watching. For a man to humble himself in such a way, to humble himself in such a way in prayer, to humble himself in such a way to give birth to a promise, because that was symbolic of giving birth. And God wants to give birth to something new through us. He wants to see those promises come to pass. And so Elijah, he didn't use the normal way of praying, like on the run when you're in the car. And that's a good way to pray. I hope it goes beyond a parking space. I hope your prayer goes to bless other people you're working with and pray for God to reveal Jesus to them, and goes beyond where you live, that it's a little bit more than just blessing you, although he will. Elijah, he went to pray. He bowed before God. And he humbled himself. And God's promised that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray, then I will turn and heal their land. Then I will turn. Now, Elijah, he wasn't kind of in Wembley with 50,000 people praying. He wasn't even in the KF Southwest prayer meeting, although that would have been good. Selah. He was on his own with his servant up on Mount Carmel, symbolic of being with God in prayer, in the secret place. And he was bowing before God, saying, Lord, I've said it. I've declared my faith. You've told me this is what you're going to do. Send the rain. Sent his servant out. Go up, look out to the sea. And if you read further, the servant comes back and says, no, that prayer didn't work. It's not working. There is no rain. Can you imagine how many of the church would stop praying at that point? If first time you prayed, it didn't happen. Second time, he sends out the servant to say, is there rain? Any sign? No. Probably 50% of the church would have given up praying for rain. And I'm just wanting to show you something about Elijah's determination. Effective, fervent prayer. He cried out and he kept going until sixth time he sends him out. Is there any sign? But the seventh time he said, the servant goes out and he says, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And at that point, Elijah knew what had been on the inside had started to happen on the outside. And Jesus says about prayer that there needs to be a cry, there needs to be fervency. The Holy Spirit will help you with this, because many times we start, your flesh is so kind of, this is how I pray and this is how I do it and this is it. And you never change position. You never move from just words to a cry. Jesus prayed, not all the time, but it is written with loud cries and tears. When was the last time you prayed like that? Just a question. I'm not asking you to answer, but the Lord knows and you know. When was the last time there was this cry for the things of God, for him to be glorified, and for a move of the Spirit? You see, it kind of breaks the flesh when you begin to pray like this. Yes, does for me anyway. Yeah. When I start to pray like this, and I have to kind of pray for a while until I get there. Yeah. Is anybody like that? Yeah. I start off and I feel like this isn't, this is hard work. Yeah. I'm just going to keep going. Holy Spirit, help me. Yeah. And that's one of the wonders of the gift of tongues, is that when I start to pray, I don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit knows, and he prays in me and through me. And the scripture says he prays sometimes with groanings, like probably Elijah, who birthed an outpouring for a nation. I have to keep going and keep going until really the power of the Spirit takes over my mind and my whole body, so that I'm praying just as he wants me to pray. Not conscious of myself, but conscious of the will of God and what he wants to do on earth as it is in heaven. And some of the promises will never happen until you pray, and you pray effectively and fervently. Effectively is according to his will, filled with the Spirit, enabled by the Spirit, but also fire, the passion of Jesus to see that happen. I don't want to look out on my life and say, Lord, there's loads of seed here, and it never happened. I want to see the move of the Spirit that will bring everything that God has said to pass. And therefore, I need to partner with God and position myself like Elijah to go up to prayer. And that there's corporate prayer meetings like this. This is how the early church prayed, with loud cries all together at once. Amen. They weren't just listening to somebody on fire on the platform praying. They were all praying the same thing at the same time because they all got engaged with the prayer. There was a release of the Holy Spirit. You know, I sense that the Holy Spirit has refilled a lot of us who've asked. Ask for a fresh infilling of the Spirit, Ephesians says. But I also sense that floodgates, you know it with a dam, you can have floodgates that can hold the water in. How there needs to be a release out of me of the things of God, the things of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And I think the greatest release comes when we yield to Him, we allow Him to pray as suits Him, yes, not suits us. Pray through me, Holy Spirit, as suits you, not in a way that suits me. But also of love. The love of God in our hearts is poured out in such a way that we have a passion for God and a love for people to experience God. We can't do this without the Spirit, but we can hear the word this morning, a challenge, I suppose, to effective fervent prayer. A challenge maybe to give up a meal or two to seek God for an outpouring of rain. And a challenge to pray intensely for a season until we see the cloud. How many of you want to pray until you see a cloud? I want to pray until I see a cloud. What's on the inside starts to show up on the outside. And God is so good, you know. You may feel totally unqualified to pray. But because of Jesus, we can ask. And because of Jesus, He will answer. Not because of our performance, but we're giving ourselves to effective, fervent prayer. God is going to answer and pour out His Spirit in an unprecedented way. I've heard what the Spirit is saying. Have you? Is it clear to ask for rain? I've heard how He wants me to pray. Effective, fervent prayer. I've heard that when rain comes, there's super bloom. And I've heard that I need to give myself to prayer. What if the next 2 weeks, every day you set aside time to bow before the Lord and ask for His Spirit to move? Remind Him of His promises and pray them and say, Holy Spirit, come. What if the Sunday when Pastor Colin's here, the apostolic grace plus the move of the Spirit through the prayers of the people, what could happen? Will you pray until you see the cloud? And will we pray until we see a cloud? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes and amen. I say yes, Jesus. I say yes. Let's stand. You know, a lot of the time when we gather together, God really builds our faith for our own lives personally, for certain things that He wants to do in our lives personally. And this is a personal word. But it's so much bigger than us. And this is what love is. It doesn't just think. God's love doesn't just think about ourselves. But it thinks about the consequences of other people's lives. And says, Lord, I am willing to pray for rain.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.